time for some hockey talk. We turn to our friend Ty Anderson of 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich. Gary, how's it going?
Going well, thanks. Good to talk with you. It's been a couple of weeks and, well, not a lot of hockey of late. Did this break in the schedule come at a good time for the Bruins?
Yeah, I think it's at a good time. I think a team like the Bruins, even with a good month of January, you need to recharge. You need to get the batteries kind of reset here. And I think the Bruins were a team that, watching them play towards the end, that three-game road stretch and that one-off at the Garden, I looked at that team and said they need a break. Just a little bit off towards the end. Guys, I think were mentally checked out, ready for their break, their well-deserved break, if you will. So I think it came at a good time, and now we're going to see if that we're actually right about that, because if you come out of it and look worse or look flat, then that's a big problem.
Well, let's start with the goalie situation. When's the soonest we might see Tuukka Rask?
Well, we're going to have to wait and see if he's on the practice rink, you know, consistently here. That's the big problem. If he's not practicing, he's not going to be playing. You know, with Tuukka, this is where it can get messy, right? I've always been of the belief that, you have three good goalies. That's not a problem. Most teams would kill for that. However, it's a problem if in March and April you're still trying to find ways to get Rask up to speed when the other goalies are going at 60 miles an hour already, right? So that's where it becomes a problem. And the schedule in February was always a soft one for the Bruins, with three scheduled games where you had the Kraken. Before February, you had the Coyotes. You know, you have Ottawa a couple of times this month. So if he's unable to get into action for those games, those are valuable games for Tuukka, in the sense that they're very consequence-free for the Bruins, because those teams aren't very good. I don't want to get Rask up to speed against the Lightning and the Rangers and the Maple Leafs, et cetera, et cetera. Like, he needs these games, right? So if he's not going to be playing in these games, that's when the situation, in my opinion, has the ability to kind of go off the rails here and make it a messy one for the Bruins.
So what do you see the rotation being like going forward?
Well, I think, you know, I think as long as Tuukka is not up to speed, it's going to be 50-50 just with Swayman and Ullmark instead of Rask and Ullmark. Now, I would say that between the two goaltenders, let's say the veteran goaltenders, Rask and Ullmark, I think Ullmark's looked a little bit better. I mean, obviously, Rask doesn't look good. And here's where it gets interesting, right? Because Ullmark has never been part of a playoff push. He's never done that in Buffalo. They were always out of it by January. So how long can you ride him, right? And because I think he was showing some signs of fatigue. That game in Dallas, I think, was a great example of that. I believe it was his third game in 6 days. He looked better in their final game before the All-Star break. But again, this is sort of, you're going to learn a lot about these goaltenders, I think, between Rask, Swayman, and Ullmark. So I think no matter who the tandem is, I think you're going to see a nearly 50-50 split in what can only be described as self-discovery, I think, for the Bruins in terms of what they have with all three guys.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. Well, outside of Rask, what's the team's health situation as we get ready for the Penguins tomorrow night?
Well, you expect to see Nick Foligno and Trent Frederick back as schedule ramps up here. I think the Bruins really miss those guys in terms of the toughness angle that's been kind of brought up recently by fans and media alike. Are they tough enough? Well, the problem is that question has come up with those two guys out of the lineup, right? So if they're back and they're in action, that should help in that regard. The defense is interesting, right? With Vaakanainen, we know Zboril's done for the year. That has been a sore spot for this team all year. That third side of the right D3, I call it, has sort of been the problem this year. And that's the position that those two guys have played in. So I think seeing Vaakanainen back in action, seeing if he can handle that spot full time, that may play a big factor in terms of their deadline approach and how they go about that.
Well, speaking of the defense, who's out there for potential defensive help as we close in on the deadline?
Well, it's really a thin market. It's a thin market in the sense that it feels top-heavy, right? You have Jacob Chychrun from Arizona. That is a guy who I think makes a lot of sense for them. But negotiating with the Coyotes has been a nightmare, from what I understand, with any team. I mean, this is a team that they can't pay their own building, but they're pretty hell-bent on getting what they want in return in any trade that they make. So, you know, when the Bruins were engaged with Oliver Ekman-Larsson talks back when that was happening, the Coyotes weren't willing to bend much, and it hit the point where the Bruins said, forget this, we're not doing this. So I'm curious what that would be with an even better player here. So we'll see how that shakes out. But also, you look around, I wonder about Jimmy Lauzon, right? I wonder what his situation is in Seattle. He's been in and out of the lineup. They also, another defenseman there, Susi, he's another one who could make some sense to the Bruins. Giordano in Seattle, I think he may be a little bit too long in the tooth now. And then you have some depth options, I would say, like in Philadelphia, Justin Braun, for example, right? Not a superstar name by any stretch, but he's, I think, 6'2" and blocks shots and doles out some hits. So they could use that in their third pairing as well. So not a ton of great options on the market. Very top-heavy market, I think, in terms of who's out there. But those are just some guys that come to mind out of the gate. And sure enough, we'll probably see some more teams kind of fall off here. But their big need on D would be a right shot, I think, over a left shot. They already have about 8 left shots. Need another right-hand defenseman, I would say.
Well, it's going to be an interesting week of the Penguins tomorrow night, but then the Hurricanes Thursday, trip to play the Senators on Saturday. How important is it that they come out starting well tomorrow night and show that they made the most out of that layoff?
Well, it's important because I don't think you're going to beat Carolina. I think that team is just the class of the conference. You looked pretty overmatched against them this year in those 2 games, so I'm always expecting a loss there. The Penguins, I believe Malkin is still on the COVID list. I don't think he cleared out of it today, so he'd catch a break there. So if you look at those games between Pittsburgh and Ottawa, you say those are 4 points, 3 at the minimum that you could really use because the Penguins were riding high. They were looking dominant, I think, last month. Kind of taking a little bit of a step back entering the break. So you might be catching those teams in a good spot here. But Carolina, until proven otherwise, and this is their last chance to prove otherwise, Bruins, I'm expecting a loss there. So you got to, when you have scheduled losses, you need to sort of make do with the other ones you have, make other games you have, and get those points.
Ty, among the Bruins, who's a guy who has surprised you this year, played a little better than expected, and who really needs to step it up down the stretch?
Yeah, you know, I would say that Eric Halla surprised me because I thought that he started out of the gate really slow, and he looked a lot worse than he did in the preseason, and I thought, oh, okay, this is what we've seen in the league from him the last 2 years. He's not back. He's not, you know, looking better than ever like we thought. He's what he is. But I think putting him with Taylor Hall and David Pastrnak has helped his game a lot. The expectations of him are not as crazy as they were. He's not being asked to drive a line with Nick Foligno and Jake DeBrusque. He's just simply existing on the second line and doing a really good job of it. So I think that his game, if he can play with those guys full time and prove that he's ready and able to hang with them, I mean, that's a huge need kind of off the board for the Bruins. So I think that he's played better than we would give him credit for, just based on that alone, a trickle-down effect of what he can do for this roster. And conversely, I think a guy who can give you a little more is Craig Smith. You know, they put Smith with the Bergeron-Marchand combination here because they think he can hack it there. He's kind of been a little too quiet, I think, for that line. You know, that's a line, if you can stay with that duo, you should be productive. I mean, Jansen Heinen was a point-per-game guy with them, and that's no knock on Heinen. It's just no matter what's going on in your career, you should be able to produce if you're just getting with those 2 guys. So I think he can give you a little bit more. You kind of saw it there in Dallas. He was the one bright spot of that game. But I think those 2 guys, they're very sneaky important to this team in terms of what they do at the deadline and what their ceiling is up front, scoring potential-wise, and how that line is going to shake out, that lineup is going to shake out in the playoffs. So I think those are 2 guys who have both performed above expectations and below it to a degree.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub here on Downtown. Ty, appreciate it as always. Great talking with you. Enjoy the game tomorrow night, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Thanks again, Ty. Bruins talk on Downtown.